I mentioned this morning that everything here is recorded, or all our seminars, and if you haven't taken advantage of that, I'd like to recommend you have a look. Under talks, you'll find the talks at this conference and all past teachers' conferences. You'll find public lectures that are targeted toward the local community, which are great resources. They're among our most popular resource, and so forth. So there's a wealth of information about current research in areas from biological physics to string theory, all available to you on the web. So I encourage you to have a look. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Dan Hoehn. He preceded me as deputy director and then reached a point in his life where he thought he might retire, but after retiring, at least that's his second retirement. He first retired from the physics department where he had been chair at one point. Well, after he retired the second time, he said he wasn't, he seemed kind of nervous. So we recruited him to be the director of outreach and education, and he has been a champion of these teachers' conferences for a long time, and behind the scenes, he's contributed a great deal to their organization and success. So with that, I'd like to present Dan Hoehn, who will present the next speaker.
Thank you for that nice and unexpected introduction. Here at KITP, we always look forward to these teachers' conferences. It's exciting for us to be in contact with you who undertake the vital and often difficult job of educating our young people about science in a world where that sort of knowledge is ever more important. We hope and I guess believe that that you're stimulated by these conferences as well, and the evidence is that you are, since many of you come back year after year. But we wondered whether there were possibly a way of expanding the impact of these conferences beyond those of you who are actually able to attend. And a somewhat obvious notion came up of perhaps somehow generating high school classroom presentations that were based on the sorts of materials that that are presented at each conference. We're very ill-equipped to do that ourselves, and so we had to turn to you. And what we did is generate a contest to produce such classroom presentations based on what you hear here. And the idea is to put those on the website and make them accessible to teachers around the country, or elsewhere, I suppose. We were fortunate to have the generosity of two supporters of the KITP, Simon and Diana Rabb, who donated money which goes into prizes for the winners of the contest of producing these classroom presentations. There's significant prizes. First prize is $3,000, and there are three prizes each year. You can find the rules and description of the contest, the rules for them in your packet, where you also see a copy of the web page of the winners of last year's contest and the links to their presentations, and you can go there and see those presentations if you like. You might well ask the question whether this notion has been effective. And although it's hard to know exactly how many people have made use of those presentations to their classes, to their high school classes. We do have information on downloads, as you might expect. Last December, when the first contest winners had been on for about a year and the second only for a month or two, we discovered there were about 10,000 downloads of the PowerPoint presentations and another approximately 10,000 downloads of the PDF files. We put them in both formats because not everybody is able to make use of PowerPoint presentations. All three of last year's winners are here, I believe. I've seen both Gail and Nick sitting in the front row over there. I'm happy to say that the first place winner of last year's contest has agreed to talk to you a little bit about the experience. So I'd like to introduce Steve Bremer, who teaches at Mayo High School in Rochester, Minnesota, who will talk to you about that experience.
I approach this with some trepidation because I know quite a few of you guys, and I know what good teachers you are and presenters you are. So I'm not going to attempt to tell you how to do this, but hopefully give you some insight in how I thought about it. Since last year, I did teach at Mayo High School, and I entered the contest. Since that time, I've retired after 34 years, and I'm having a lot of fun working at a small museum in Minneapolis. So if you're there, the Bakken Museum is a great place to visit. It's kind of based on a collection of historical electrical devices collected by the founder of Medtronic, if that sounds familiar to you. So I guess if I was going to talk about giving advice or just talk about the way I approach this, I think I'd start out by saying enjoy the day. Here we are last year about the same time, and if you look close, this is after lunch. I'm a little bit fuzzy there in the back row. But absorb as much as you can from the lectures. I always find that I tend to have more trouble taking notes and understanding and then just kind of watching and understanding. So I tend to not be a very good note taker at these things. What I often find more valuable, we've already hinted at this a little bit, is we've got a lunch coming up and there's usually somebody at each table that has some expertise in this field. Take advantage of that and ask lots of either good or bad questions. I don't know. In my mind, they're all good questions, but I'm not sure about that. You do get a chance at this to hobnob a little bit with prize winners. And 2 years ago, these were four of the prize winners. And I'm not sure who that other guy is there got in the picture. But it's a chance to talk about my friend John from also from Minnesota was, what, second place last time around. Yeah, and he had a chance to do the same thing last year. And then, of course, you know, at the end of the evening, there's a lot of chances to network downtown and get to talk this over with your colleagues and try to put some context in what you've heard during the day in terms of what you do at school. And then I guess when it really kind of hits you in the face is, for me anyway, is when I get on that plane to go home and I start thinking about what I actually want to put together for a presentation. And you all of a sudden realize that no, you don't have any notes. And yes, you are very confused. And oftentimes, I think of this great scene from A Serious Man that described a lot of my undergraduate career. And by the way, this was shot in Minnesota, not too far from where we live. And St. Olaf College, where this was shot, they just cut up this board and auctioned it off as a fundraiser for the college. Anyway, when you get home, probably a couple things you should look at pretty closely. The rules are important, and they're in the packet as well. They just describe what they're looking for and gives you a timeline. And I could be mistaken, Dr. Holm, but I have a feeling that in the last couple years, the timeline shifted a little bit after the thing started. But That's an important thing to keep in mind. I think this year it's August 27th as well, if I remember, is the deadline. But take a look at what's being required, and that's all written up there. And I guess what was hinted at here just a little bit ago, what was even more helpful to me is that all of this material is out there on the web, so you can go in and you can download podcasts and get audio and go back and look at most of the slides again, and that was what was really helpful for me in remembering what I'd heard and helping me put it in its perspective. So use the website, I guess. The website's in a little bit of a transition, and sometimes you have to be a little patient because I know some things appear and disappear. But anyway, the point, I guess, for my to my point of view is that if you're going to put together a presentation, you should make it useful, make it something that I would find useful, or that you feel your colleagues would find useful. And I'll just throw out a couple of ideas for you to think about. I taught an AP Physics course, and I was lucky enough to teach it over a two-year period of time. And so I had a curriculum that allowed me to do a little bit with quantum mechanics and nuclear physics and a little particle physics at the end of the year on a fairly surface level. So last year's conference had a lot to do with quantum mechanics, and I felt that I could fit that in very nicely with what I did in the curriculum. I could make it a part of what I did in some way. So that's how I approached it to start with. I know that my students are interested in some of this stuff, and one of the things you find out is that these conferences bring you to a point where you can talk about some things with your kids that they will be interested in. I've never found out coming to one of these that the kids weren't interested to hear what I had to say. You might also think a little bit about where you're going to put it. Is it going to be new stuff or review? Is it going to be enrichment or requirement? I tend to use it in a lot of times as a review type of thing, and put in some of the conference stuff as a enrichment towards to kind of amplifying the concepts that I'm working with. You might also want to think about portability. Can other people take this and use it, or is it something that's just going to be specifically for you? I tried when I did mine to make it something that could be taken apart and used by other people if they wanted to. And part of the debate I had the first year I entered this, I got third place, and the comment was, you didn't cover enough of the conference. This year I got first place, and the kind of the comment in the end was, well, it was too big. But, so it's a lot of information, and it's hard to make it fit in one presentation for one class period, I found. So I decided to go for it all this year and do the whole thing. The other side of this, I think, is to be practical. Last year, John suggested a 30-hour, I think it was, time limit. And, you know, you can do what's appropriate for you, but I decided to try to stick to something close to 30 hours of my time, and I'm not sure it was over a lot of short periods of time, so it's hard to say what actually was. It is important to cover the conference in some way, but how much of the conference, how much detail you go into is kind of part of what you think your kids will be able to understand. They ask you to do some animating, and you can eat up a whole lot of your life trying to animate things, and I'm not good enough to do really, really fancy stuff, but it is good to have a little bit of that in there. You have to develop a problem set. I tried to take problems that I would use normally with my kids and either adapt them or use them just the way I would use them. And then another thing that tends to take a lot of your time is the teacher notes. And you don't see that from the little part of the presentation I'm going to show you, but if you download the PowerPoint, there are some teacher notes that go along with it, and I tried to amplify on some of the things that I thought were interesting that you may not be able to pop up on the screen because it would have made it way too busy. But I guess in the end, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, August 27th is the deadline. Realize that you only have so many hours to work on this, and you have to kind of dole those hours out in a appropriate way. The other thing I'll just say is that I found out that, we started looking for graphics to put in the presentation. A lot of the presenters' graphics are in the PowerPoints. You can download, use them. A lot of their graphics are closely related to other graphics that you can find out on the internet with other information. You know, use all that. You've got stuff that you use in class already. Use all that. And, you know, it's always fun to discover new stuff. I like to illustrate that with this. If you live in Minnesota, at least twice a year you're used to seeing the cheeseheads show up from Wisconsin. And this year, we had the opportunity to kind of readapt that symbol. We're hoping that we're going to be able to use it again next year. But you know, you go out and Google cheesehead, and who would have thought the Medicis had the Tuscan Titans, and no. So, you know, use the internet, but use it wisely, I guess is my point. So I thought I'd show you just a short little piece of my presentation from last year to just kind of illustrate a couple of these points. It was quantum mechanics, it was light meets matter, and these were the folks that spoke, and I followed the order pretty closely when I did my presentation, but I found out that there were certain themes that the kids needed to understand in order to understand any of the presentations that were made. So what I tried to do is kind of tried to illustrate them up front, and a lot of this was encapsulating big chunks of material that we talked about over the last 2 years. So, you know, we talked about the Newton-Huygens debate about waves and particles, and the fact that in the end Newton wasn't necessarily really, really sold on particles, but we kind of all buzzed through these fairly quickly. But just the idea that there was that wave-particle duality way back when, that Young came along at one point in time and showed us that light does interference, and because it interferes, it's probably a wave. And then at some point in time, we have our friend Maxwell talking about electricity and magnetism, and we don't go into a whole lot of detail about the Maxwell's laws, but we approach them in a way so that they've seen them and they have a general understanding of what they're trying to say, and they understand the diagram and all that. So this is, up to this point, we're still kind of reviewing. We have just finished our unit on quantum mechanics as I'm using this presentation, so they've gotten an idea of what black body radiation is. They've done an experiment on the photoelectric effect, so we're kind of reminding them of that. Planck wasn't too excited about the quantum, but Einstein adopted it to use for his photoelectric effect. And then we start throwing in some of the newer ideas, and the idea that even if you're shooting one of these photons at a time through your double slit, you're still going to get this interference pattern. And so at this point, we've kind of gone through the stuff that I thought the kids should remember, and we're starting to kind of approach some of the things that were talked about, the Broglie waves and the electron diffraction experiments. And then we do touch on Heisenberg a little bit, but as it was approached in the conference last year, you talk a little bit about the idea of adding waves to make something that looks a little like a particle, which was kind of important to some of the ideas that were presented. And the notes that go along with kind of fill you in on all this. I'm, like I said, I'm going a little bit fast because you can take a look at this later if you'd like to. But at that point, we now get down to where the first presentation kind of kicked in. And he was talking about this idea that you know, if you observe one of the slits during this experiment, you lose your pattern, and that you could use that to look at communications. And so these are some of the Martin Plano. Yeah, these are some of the diagrams that he had in his talk. Which says that, you know, if you're communicating in a quantum sort of way, you can tell when somebody's watching because the signal is different. And talked about this idea of quantum keys and using quantum keys to do security, and that was basically the first part of my presentation. That's the part of it that I used in his talk. And then I went on to kind of amplify some of those things and talk about the other four speakers. So if you're interested in downloading that, you're welcome to do that. I put together a problem set that, like I said, was a lot of things that I already did, but fit into this topic very nicely. And in the end, I guess we can talk just a little bit about the rewards for the time spent. You get a very nice certificate with Dr. Gross's certificate, with Dr. Gross's signature on the bottom. And he did write a letter that I think he signed. One of the things that I thought was kind of fun is that I get to be on the same program with several people, which will probably never happen again. And they do send you a very nice check. This is the, I did cash it, so here's the, you see. And I guess bottom line is, you know, the reason you do all this stuff is because you want to keep the kids interested, you want to get them involved, you want to capture their imagination. And, you know, we're all used to doing our circus in class every day, but, you know, I really do find that they're interested in these discussions, and they feel a bigger connection with the topic if you can come back and say, hey, I met this guy, and I got to talk to him about this topic, and here's what I found out. And, you know, they feel like you have a little bit more credibility to a certain extent, and they also feel like they feel like they have a little bit more ownership in it, I think, when you can relate to them personally on that level. So, any questions? Otherwise, thank you very much.
Are there any questions?
Yeah?
Can you incorporate all Lady,
raise your voice.
Can you incorporate all four of the lectures in that?
I showed you basically what I did for the first lecture, and a lot of the stuff in the beginning kind of overlapped in all of them, and then there was a little amplification I had to do on spectroscopy and where spectrums came from, and there was a little bit, one of the lectures had to do with attosecond timing of things, and so I had talked a little bit about that. So that was about one-fourth of what I did there. Well, in theory, it's supposed to be a one-hour presentation, but I look at it more as a resource that I could pull things out of. You could use it as one whole thing and talk about the conference as a whole, or you could use it as a resource to pull pieces out of. There's a section in there that talks about how the laser works, and there's a section that talks about modern confocal microscopes, for example, so you could take a part of it out. But it was hard to imagine talking about some of these topics without doing something that involved all of them. And I think you can see that already today. You know, Kepler's laws, spectroscopy, you know, you could spend 5 days probably just setting up the last two talks in a class. And so you approach it as a review, in my case, for things that we already did. I thought that's what made the most sense. And then hit a little bit of the core of what each presentation was.
Other questions? Once again. There's a remarkable